Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw in the Kia Studios along with Matt Winklejohn. Nine floors up here in Midtown. Looking down at people trying to avoid those scooters that are running people off the sidewalk like one did me earlier today. All is well with you and you safely made your way home or making your way home on this Wednesday evening. Braves, we bet you have a 2-1 lead over the New York Mets. And, of course, tomorrow night this time we will be deep, deep, deep into the National Basketball Association draft for 2019. And we are downright giddy with anticipation here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're your home for Atlanta Hawks basketball. And we're looking forward to the Hawks being a dealer. Well, they've already been doing some dealing, but we're looking forward to even bigger deals possibly for this basketball team. As the dominoes continue to fall around the league. And Matt Winklejohn, I don't know how you were, but I know were you a big fan of that finals series? Were you a big fan of that Golden
State?
Yeah,
I was a fan. I wouldn't say a big fan. I didn't make every game, must-see TV, but I watched a good bit of it. But those injuries just, the Golden State injuries, I like Golden State. I'm not a huge fan, but I appreciate what Golden State can do when everybody is healthy and engaged. But that was gut punches in back-to-back games. I'm not saying I'm sad that Golden State didn't win the championship again, but that was hard. That was really hard to watch. It was just when Clay went down in game six and the announcement came pretty quickly that he would not return to the game,
right.
It was like, for me, almost a little bit disorienting. It was like, you got to be kidding me. KD just went down, ruptured an Achilles 2 days ago, and he's got a knee injury that's bad enough. The ACL didn't come out right away. But I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I'm happy for the Raptors. I think that's pretty cool. Obviously, Canada's pretty doggone happy.
Yeah, yeah.
To say the least. You get more than a million people at the, celebration and all that stuff.
No LeBron James in the postseason, and we saw some new stars emerge, And when you think about out of Denver, when you think about up in Milwaukee, obviously Kawhi Leonard, well, we knew what he could do. In San Antonio, we just hadn't seen him just take it all on his shoulders and just take over.
Damian Lillard had his moments, obviously, too, in the early rounds of the Western playoffs. No, it's good. I mean, there was more oxygen with LeBron not being in the postseason. There was more oxygen for others, I guess you might say. And that, in the grand scheme of things, that's a good thing for the NBA, isn't it?
I think so.
And I think it's kind of – speaking of LeBron and the Lakers, changing gears a little bit here – to see that they're the odds-on favorite now, where in the world does that come from?
How about that?
They've only got five people under contract, if you count Anthony Davis under contract. The three that are under contract beyond LeBron and AD are Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and I can't even remember, Kuzma.
Kuzma, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they have no more players. They literally have no other players under contract. And somebody is saying they're the odds-on favorite to win the NBA title. How does that happen? How does that process work? Do you know anything about people who set lines and all that stuff?
I have no idea.
I'm not a gambling guy.
Yeah.
So I literally don't have any knowledge of that. But I saw that headline a couple days ago. I'm like, what? They only have enough to put five on the court.
Yeah.
And you're saying and two of those are guys you never even heard of, and you're saying they're favorites to win the NBA next year? Hey, I grew up a Lakers fan. I'm interested in the Lakers to this day, but I'm not that crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing we're watching. Of course, that was a big deal that we heard go down for them. Obviously, Anthony Davis for them to go, and now they have technically the fourth pick overall as well with them. Did New Orleans kind of win that? A lot of people wonder, do you judge who wins a trade now or years down the road?
I think you got to wait it down the road. If you had to grade it right now, I would say the Pels won it, but I don't think they, and it wasn't a walkover. Anthony Davis is ridiculous. Yeah. I think LeBron James and Anthony Davis are the second and third most efficient players in NBA history. Their efficiency ratings are 2 and 3 all time. And they're now on the same, or will be on the same team together.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt. I'm no basketball mathematician, but that doesn't hurt. That's a pretty good starting place. But you need more players.
You got it. Well, you got to get them a point guard.
Yeah.
I know the offense goes through LeBron a lot, but I think, you know, a point guard would be something that team would need.
There's speculation that Rondo wants to return. His numbers were not very good for the Lakers last year, and he was hurt a ton. There's been stuff out there on the rumor mill that Patrick Beverley is interesting to the Lakers. He's going to be a free agent with, you know, from the Clippers. But yeah, you got to have a point guard. Now, LeBron tends to dominate the ball a fair amount. You don't necessarily need a guy that you're going to count on to give you 10 and 11 assists a night, but you got to have a primary ball handler because they traded away Lonzo, and right now Rondo's not under contract. The Lakers got a lot of work to do. You know, it just seeing that business where they were the odds-on favorite to win the championship next year, I'm like, is there an alternative universe where this is happening?
Yeah.
It just seems early to say that.
I don't know if that's going to happen. All right, our Hawks, we have these draft picks, and we want to see what they do with them. Let's be GM if we can for a minute. Travis Link has a great job to do, a lot of work on his hand. And he said, you know, don't expect all these draft picks to be drafted, a bunch of rookies on this roster. They're going to make some moves. Which ones you think, you know, are best right now? If they wait until the 8th pick, everyone seems to think that's going to be Cam Reddish. You know, obviously, he's a kind of, you know, could be a player that they could use, obviously. But there's some other people that you would rather see them get, maybe at that 4th or 5th position. We're looking at Jarrett Culver, maybe DeAndre Hunter. Which one would you do?
Those are the two guys that I'd like to see join the Hawks. They need wings. They need athletic, flexible, switchable wing help. And Jarrett Culver and DeAndre Hunter, in my opinion, are the two guys I would like to see. Travis Schlenk do what he needs to do to make sure he gets one or the other of those guys. And I don't think either of them are going to be there at 8. You know, they're going to go 4, 5, 6-ish. A lot of people seem to think Darius Garland, the guard from Vanderbilt, who didn't play but 5 games before injuring his knee, is going to go maybe as high as the 3rd-ranked player. The Knicks worked him out at the last second, apparently, today.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'll be surprised if they select him as opposed to R.J. Barrett. But if somebody does pop up and draft Darius Garland that early, that probably benefits the Hawks' chances of getting Culver or Hunter because it would push them down. But, I mean, it's fascinating. There's so much going on, but I think Travis Schlenk has to do what he has to do to make sure he finds a way to get DeAndre Hunter or Jarrett Culver, and I don't think you're going to get him at 8.
We talk about dealing with Cleveland. They got the 5th pick. We've been talking about maybe a deal for Kevin Love. I don't think Kevin Love stays here. I think we'd probably be moving him on to someplace else. We're talking now a three-team deal possibly.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left at big money. And he has obviously been dinged a good bit in the last 2-3 years. I would be stunned. Not stunned. If Kevin Love is involved in some sort of a deal where they send the number 5 pick, Cleveland sends the number 5 pick to the Hawks in exchange for taking the Kevin Love contract off Cleveland's hands, I agree with you that it would be likely that Love would be moved to another location down the road rather than stay on this roster. Although he is, he's got at least part of the space and pace game. He can shoot it. He's a big who can shoot it, but man, he's not very athletic. And I think Lloyd Pierce and Travis Schlenk, they want to run athletes out there. And, you know, Kevin Love's not a flexible defender. So, it's interesting. A lot's going to happen in the next 24 hours in the NBA, right?
You're going to package 8 and 10 for that and keep the 17 that we don't have yet, but we'll have.
Right.
You know, that makes sense to you. We have the 17. We don't have it, and you're going to have to let, you know, the Nets make the pick for us is the way it goes, right?
Right.
Yeah, but we do. We have the number 17.
It. I would think the 8 and 10 to Cleveland for 5 are in conversation. The Pels are at number 4. You know, one of those. I think you got to get to one of those spots to get. If you're going to target Hunter or Culver, you got to get to one of those spots. And you're going. I can't imagine you wouldn't have to part with the 8 and 10, and maybe an asset, maybe a player with an expiring contract like Bazemore.
Okay.
You know, some teams are looking for that kind of transaction. I have no earthly idea if the Cavs and the Pels are in that group. But, you know, a player I find fascinating, you talk about keeping the 17. I wonder if the Hawks could even move back from 17 and still have a shot at a guy that fascinates me a little bit. A big guard, played at Belmont. Dylan, do you remember him from the NCAA tournament? He had 35 points in the first round against Maryland.
Right.
Dylan Windler, 6'8 guard, can shoot the snot out of the three.
Okay.
He's like Kevin Huerter in many ways. Got a little more of a handle. A little more athletic, 6'8". What did I see? He averaged 21.3 this year and 10.8 rebounds at a big guard spot.
Okay.
And shot 42.9% from three. And he's done well in some of these NBA workouts and everything too. But this guy shot plus 40% from three, college three, his junior and senior years. And he's long and athletic, crazy athletic. And I think that's what Lloyd Pierce wants, length and athleticism.
He wouldn't go for a rim protector that soon? Or would he go with another
place? I'm not saying he wouldn't. I mean, Alex Len's got 1 year left on his contract. He's the only player they got on the roster now that you'd consider really a rim protector, right?
Right.
I mean, John Collins is going to block a few shots and everything, but he's not a rim protector per se. I don't know who would slot into the 17 range as a rim protector. Rui Hachimura of Gonzaga is not a rim protector, but he's another flexible guy.
Would you go for Bowl out of Oregon?
I wouldn't go as high as 17 on him. He's just – there's not enough track record. You know, he couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
He's a 7'2 guy with a 7'7 wingspan that can shoot a little bit more than you would imagine a guy that big could. But, boy, there's not a lot of memory in that information bank. He hadn't put a lot on tape.
Yeah.
Though. But I don't know. I'm not a scout, you know. Somebody's going to draft a guy.
Yeah, they will. They will. They will. Well, that's your thoughts. Of course, that's coming up tomorrow. Now, of course, now we got to give away a pair of tickets to the Big 3 basketball. It's coming up July 7th at State Farm Arena. So be on the lookout for that and listen up for the sounder for your chance to win. When we come back, we're going to get on this list. NFL, top 100 players. Who's on, who's off, and what we think about it. Sam, Matt, in the Kia Studios on a Wednesday night. Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99TheGame.com. Sports Radio 99 The Game at 99TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you, along with Matt Winklejohn. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios watching the sunset on what has been a warm, warm Wednesday. And I guess we avoided the rain. We have had some rain earlier in the day, but it looked like we kind of avoided the rain for this evening. Hope all is well with you, especially if you had to make the commute home from work today. Hope it was a safe commute, and thanks for joining us on this evening. Of course, you know, along with being home for your Falcons and Atlanta United, along with being home for the Atlanta Hawks and Atlanta United and Georgia State, we are also your home for Atlanta Falcons. And the guys are hopefully getting some R&R right now. This is the week, I guess, Matt, I guess this is the time when guys rest some, and I guess it's the time that coaches and some front office folks kind of don't sleep because you're hoping everybody goes out and has a good time and it makes it back the way they left.
Yeah, everybody, you know, just go lay low.
Yeah.
Keep it real. But this is, you know, it's a curious time. When I covered the NFL full time several years ago, this would be the time when my family would shut it down and all the NFL writers. And I think D-Led's on vacation as we speak.
Yep,
think so. But it's really the one time a year where you can – I mean, there are some opportunities like in February. but who vacations in February? The kids are in school.
Right.
And so forth and so on. Though this is the number one time of year, obviously, for NFL folks to do the vacation kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's no scouting going on.
Nope.
There's nobody making any trades and anything. It is the dead zone. It's a very short window. The NFL is basically a 10.5-month deal these days in some way or another. But, yeah, everybody's laying low right now.
It still ends up, though, in conversation. And, you know, someone that you know very well has put pen to paper and has just got some – threw something out there to make some people have some conversation. Pete Prisco with CBS Sports. And someone you know Pete, right?
Yeah, I worked around Pete for many years. Great guy, very knowledgeable, been around the game a long, long time. Probably dating back to the mid-90s, he's been an NFL journalist. And Pete's a guy who, if he has an opinion, he has an opinion. You're not going to change his mind. And if you happen to have an opinion that's different than his, he's not the kind of guy who's going to say, okay, well, yeah, you're entitled to your opinion. He's going to say, go kick rocks.
Yeah, oh, really?
Go away.
Go. Okay, okay.
Your opinion is meaningless.
Yes.
Pete's opinion matters.
Yes.
Very, very strong, strongly opinionated guy.
Well, he has released his list of the top 100 players in the NFL, and we're seeing it on CBS.com, and Jarvis Davis pointed it out to me before, where some of the Falcons rank, and, you know, the fact that, you know, first of all, his number one player is a defensive player.
Aaron Donald, the defensive end slash tackle with the Rams, hard to argue. His one and two are probably, in my view, interchangeable. Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs quarterback.
Yeah.
I think they are the two best players in the NFL. I don't disagree at all with that. Now, I have an issue with number three.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's an old list.
Yeah. Is this list based on how good these guys were when we last saw them play, which was the 2018 season, or how good you think they can be if they happen to stay healthy this year? Or is this a tip of the cap to the career of Aaron Rodgers? Because he wasn't the third best player in the NFL last year.
Not at all. Not at all.
And that doesn't seem reasonable to me to suggest that he'll be the third best player in the NFL this coming year.
No. I don't get that, but he is number three on that list. We got Von Miller at number four, and I would probably take number five guy and probably skip him above both of those guys, and that's Khalil Mack.
I would too, and for that matter, J.J. Watt at number 10 after a couple of injury marred season. I'd bump him up from the 10 spot. He was finally healthy again last year, had 16 sacks. He was a menace,
yep.
I mean, a complete menace. He and I wonder if ever in the game you've had four defensive linemen that you would consider to be among the top 10 players in the entire game.
Whoa, let me think.
So, but in Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, and J.J. Watt, those are four. That's four top 10
that's
dudes.
Four top 10 guys.
And I wonder how often over the years you've been able to say that four of the top 10 NFL players are defensive linemen.
Yeah, you don't get that often.
No.
Don't get that often. In case you're wondering where the top Falcon ranked is, Julio Jones weighs in at number 7, and he's the first wide receiver.
Yep, and I got no argument with that. And I appreciate the fact he is the number one wide receiver listed, too. DeAndre Hopkins of the Texans right behind him. I got an issue with the next Falcon listed. Matt Ryan all the way down at 27.
Yeah. I don't know about that. And we got some people who are – I'm looking at some players and some names here, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, looking at some of these guys.
I'm looking at Andrew Luck.
These are all really good players.
We got Andrew Luck at 20. I don't think I would put Andrew Luck over Matt Ryan.
No.
I wouldn't.
We're talking about a guy that's 2 years removed from having won the MVP award, and his numbers statistically last year on a diminished Falcons team were very similar to what they were in the MVP year, the Super Bowl year. And no, I think he needs to be lurking around that top dozen or so. Some of these guys, and these are all really good players Pete's got in here, but let's go.
Saquon Barkley at 11.
Yeah, with one season in the books. Great player.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to have a fabulous career, but one season in the books. on a team that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And you got him number 11? Come on. Boy. These are the players in order ahead of Matt Ryan at 26, 25, 24, so forth. DeMarcus Lawrence right in front of him. Jadeveon Clowney. Tyreek Hill, who might not even play again.
Right.
Alvin Kamara. Cameron Jordan of the Saints. And Travis Kelce, tight end of the Chiefs. And then you get to Luck. All those players.
Above Matt Ryan. I don't get that.
That's kooky.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I'd like to know the criteria. What's Pete's criteria?
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers is number three being the first quarterback, and he has Tom Brady as the second. Is he the second?
Mahomes is the first quarterback.
That's right, the first quarterback.
And let me get back.
You got Drew Brees here.
At number 19.
Number 19. You okay with that number for him?
Actually, I don't think that number's bad for Drew Brees, but I think Matt Ryan should be, like I said, in that 10, 11, 12 range ahead of Brees, among others. I don't think Drew Brees is currently a better quarterback, a better NFL player than Matt Ryan.
He just has better. Well, obviously the team stayed healthy, and he had some targets around him.
His team had a better season,
yeah,
no question. Fewer injuries and all that, won the division and all those things. But is that one of the criteria for this list? I'd like to know.
Obviously not, because you got Aaron Rodgers at number three.
Yeah, so maybe it's the criteria for some guys, but not for others. I don't know.
Yeah.
Be interesting to hear Pete's criteria.
Two other Falcons made the top 100. Grady Jarrett is in at 66. Deion Jones at 96. So out of the top 100, Falcons have four guys that make this list by Pete Prisco.
I would argue that Deion Jones is the Falcons' third best player behind Julio and Matt Ryan. I like Grady Jarrett a ton, but to see Deion Jones, when he's healthy, be 30 spots behind Grady?
Yeah.
I think he's one of the four best middle linebackers in the NFL.
And he is at 96. I mean, like I said, the injuries played a big deal, you know, with him. And, you know, I think he's better than that. I think he's way better than that.
Yep.
But that's where he is on this particular list. Interesting. Like you said, it's just something to give us some conversation to think about. What people think about, especially the Falcons, what they think about the top players on the Falcons. They all seem to agree on the respect for Julio Jones, and that seems to be certain. But, I mean, we'd have some players on the defensive side as well that, due to some injuries last year, weren't able to be there and contribute the way they normally do. And maybe just a little incentive. Maybe go out with a little chip on our shoulder this year. I don't know.
I would think several players have all the extra incentive this year for the Falcons to ramp it up. And injuries were obviously a big deal last year. Deion Jones missed the bulk of the season with that foot injury. I think he ended up playing in 5 games total. It might have been 6. I'd have to look it up. But when he's on the field and he's healthy, I think he's the most impactful defensive player the Falcons have had. Gosh, I can't remember. Man.
Who'd you say? Linebacker?
No, any defensive player for the Falcons, prior to Deion Jones, let's say he is the most impactful defensive player on the Falcons since
Tuggle. We're going back that far.
Tuggle would be in that conversation. If you go back, you know, Chuck Smith had a run of a few years where
John Abraham.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the man right there.
John Abraham.
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah. John Abraham. Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to go back even further, obviously nobody has ever impacted the Atlanta defense the way Deion did in his brief time in Atlanta.
Oh, no.
I mean, ever. But, gosh, what an exciting player that guy was.
Yeah, yep. Just brought a whole different vibe.
He was playing a different sport.
Yep.
He just played a different sport when he was out there. Not just with the Falcons, you know, also with the 49ers and the Cowboys, not so much with the Ravens.
Yeah.
And at the end of his career, but he it was like he was playing a different sport. He had a speed that nobody else had. That first game when he returned that punt in Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, he was just mocking people. Literally, high-stepping it and mocking the rookie, just mocking people. he was fun.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, he knew he could do it. He knew all he could do it.
You can't stop me.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Let's spend some time with Matt Winklejohn here in the Kia Studios, going over this list and reflecting of some players with the Falcons, where they stand now, and maybe some, you know, from the past with this team and where they would rank on this list as far as it goes. Something fun for us to have in these months and these weeks and days until training camp starts and things get serious and this Falcons team gets ready to go up to Canton, Ohio to play in the Hall of Fame game. It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, geez, what, about 5 weeks from training camp, right?
Yeah.
About 5 weeks. A little more than 5 weeks.
Everybody get back from the beach safe and refreshed and ready to go. It should be a lot of fun. We got a lot coming up, obviously, as far as the college side goes. You're over at Georgia Tech, busy doing some things, and you're working on some projects coming up. We're going to get into those things with you, Matt Winklejohn, in the Kia Studios. With me tonight, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on the night show in our second hour here, and Matt Winklejohn's been joining me here in the Kia Studios, and I don't think we've broken anything that caused us not to invite us back, but who cares? We got past security, and we're here.
I'm not admitting anything.
We won't admit it. Matt's here, of course, and we've enjoyed spending some time and getting his insight. Obviously, a veteran of Atlanta sports as a journalist in this area, now doing a lot of work over at Georgia Tech, and I guess it's quiet time over there too, as well, because you know the calm before the storm. For the college season.
Yeah, very much like the NFL situation. I mean, the last of the sports calendars was wrapped up about a week and a half ago when Georgia Tech lost to Auburn in the NCAA baseball regional over there. And there was a little bit of track and field left at the national level. And everybody's in hibernation now, you know, or what have you. But football will crank up in about 5 weeks, roughly the same time the Falcons go to training camp, a little bit early, by the way, because they're playing that Hall of Fame game against Denver on August 1st. But at Georgia Tech, there's a fair number of student-athletes on campus that are in summer school, and most of the incoming freshmen in the various sports are on campus, in fact, and in summer school. Everybody's working out, but nobody's practicing or anything like that. It is, there's a lot of basketball scouting, for example, that goes on these AAU tournaments.
Yeah.
Men's and women's.
And this year they're doing something new. I think the NCAA is doing something mm-hmm. that the coaches are going to, and that's kind of a fallout from the whole Adidas thing. But yeah, it's something different. But the coaches have to be there.
Right.
That's where they go to do their recruiting and watch the next wave of talent.
But when they crank it up, it's going to be interesting to watch Jeff Collins put together this team. I mean, looking at spring practice, he didn't name starters. He said repeatedly there's not a depth chart per se. There is an above the line and a below the line. Players who are above the line are players that can help now, that are ready to play now. He's not saying who's first string, who's second string at this point. To my eye, Lucas Johnson is the leader at quarterback. I think it's going to be interesting behind him. You got, obviously, Tobias Oliver played some last year and played very well, was very effective as a runner. James Graham redshirted, another quarterback, had a very good spring. There are some who think one of those two will change positions. Tobias Oliver got some work at defensive back in the spring, in fact.
Okay.
They got an incoming freshman, Jordan Yates.
Yep, out of Milton.
Mm-hmm. Who they think very highly of. But now we're about a month away before we get to dive into all the football stuff and see how that sorts itself out. I wonder if Coach Collins will eventually go with a quote-unquote depth chart. He does a lot of things very differently. He's been around long enough. We've seen that now with the branding and so forth and all the social media and so forth. But I wonder if there will come a breakoff point where you say, okay, it's no longer above or below the line. This is the depth chart. These are the first stringers. These are the second stringers. You know, I don't know. He's interesting. Jeff Collins is interesting.
He's taking a different approach from which we've seen over on North Avenue for a while. And I think a lot of people think find it pretty refreshing and fun and interesting, something to talk about. And, you know, I think people can't wait to see what it looks like on the field. I know the spring game was an indication that people seemed to enjoy, and a lot of the alums came back to be around it and embrace it and show their support for it. So to me, that was a really good vibe to see.
Yeah, it's I would call it highly caffeinated. Coach Collins is highly caffeinated.
Highly caffeinated.
And, I mean, half the time you see him, he's got a Waffle House coffee cup in his hand.
Really?
Yeah. He coaches that way. He recruits that way. They go about branding the program that way. Everything is go, 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 go. And it's not artificial. That's not artificial.
Yeah.
It's all real.
Yeah. You got a couple of things you're working on now. Especially a player with a special relationship with him.
Yeah. In fact, I'm doing some catch-up stories over at Georgia Tech for the website, ramblinrec.com, right now, where we go track down former student athletes and see what they're up to, how they're doing. And one of them that I'm working on is Albert Rocker. He was a linebacker, was recruited out of Alabama, and he was in that 2007 class, the famed 2007 class that had Derek Morgan and Jonathan Dwyer and Josh Nesbitt and that very good class that went on to form the bulk of the ACC championship team under Paul Johnson. And Jeff Collins was the on-campus recruiting coordinator at that time, just for 1 year. And then Nick Saban hired him to Alabama, and he went to Alabama, and a year later they called it director of player personnel over at Alabama by then. And that was the class that included Julio Jones, and Jeff Collins was front and center in recruiting them. But anyway, Albert Rocker was a reserve linebacker and special teamer who graduated in 2011, had a year of eligibility left, but he had a job offer from Microsoft. And he said it was a very, very hard decision, but he took that job, worked with Microsoft in Los Angeles, achieved a great deal of success, is no longer with Microsoft. He's a motivational speaker. He's authored a book that will be coming out in about a month about that. He's done some acting. He's done some modeling.
Wow.
Interesting dude. And, you know, he gives a lot of credit to Jeff Collins for recruiting him to Georgia Tech. And he gives a lot of credit to Georgia Tech for what he's been able to do.
Yeah. Wow. Period.
And I'm also trying to catch up with former tennis player Paige Horgan. She's a professional now. She's had a tremendous amount of success in the first year and a half of her pro career, and doubles in particular. She's won, I think, 7 doubles titles, ITF already, and 2 singles titles. These are smaller tournaments.
Right,
she's kind of working her way up. You know how that works.
Get those points. Got to get up the system right.
And then I'm also going to catch up soon with Vince Whaley, who's playing golf on the web.com tour. He's basically accumulated enough points that he has guaranteed himself a PGA card.
Okay.
Tour card for next year. I'm going to catch up with all these folks. I've already spoken with Paige, but that was a while back. I got some catching up to do to get current. And these stories will be on the website beginning next week.
Yet another Georgia Tech golfer headed for the tour.
Yep.
Yet another.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
And, Vince Whaley, I think, is 11th right now in web.com points, top 25 at year's end, get their PGA Tour cards. And he looks like he's going to make it. And it's a little bit of a surprise because he had a very so-so senior year. Tech was down that year. This was 2016. And but he's had a very, very nice calendar year.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Not a bad advertisement for the program when you can see guys playing on the weekends on TV.
Well, they had two. I mean, right near the top of the leaderboard in the U.S. Open, down the stretch, Chesson Hadley, who finished 9th, which guarantees him an entry into next year's U.S. Open. And, of course, Matt Kuchar. He slipped a little bit on Sunday. I believe he ended up 13th. But they were both within shouting distance of the lead after the first two rounds. And Matt Kuchar is still number one FedEx points. By a comfortable margin, he's having a nice year.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's putting together quite a season. In his time with Matt Winklejohn, we talked a little bit about the college football and some of the teams he's watching in the conference, and we talked about the ACC being just Clemson so far, head and shoulders above everyone else. Some programs we're watching, I mean, of course, this is a transition year at Tech. I guess we're watching Florida State to see what happens there. Is that kind of...
I think that's fair. It's kind of curious. That's been a program that feels like it's been in transition for like two full years.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can say there was great evidence of progress last year. But, I mean, Clemson's in a different category. I mean, even though they lost all that talent on the defensive side of the ball in particular, and you got your co-offensive coordinators, Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott, when you got Travis Lawrence at quarterback, you got a leg up right away.
Yeah.
And those wide receivers, T. Higgins, and I forgot his name. I had to look it up a little while ago, the freshman who went nuts in the playoffs, Justin Ross.
You're right. Right, right.
He's not bad.
No,
and then you're handing it off to Travis at the end.
Yep.
And you got all but two starting offensive linemen back. So Clemson's not exactly scraping its knuckles.
No. They're looking like they're going to be right
back
there.
Man, they put a beat down on Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. They really did. I mean, not saying that everybody else can go get that videotape and do the same thing.
No.
You got to have the personnel to do it.
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing, you know.
The big boys up front in that game in particular, that are all in the NFL now, those defensive linemen.
Woo. Yep. Did quite a job. We'll see what happens. That'll be very soon. And, of course, Tech gets a chance to see those guys up close and personal up there at their place to open the season. They'll be the first broadcast also for the ACC network.
That's right. Thursday night, August 29th at Clemson. That will be the first live game broadcast. The ACC network goes live a full week before that. They'll have some studio stuff and so forth, but that will be the first athletic competition televised on the ACC network.
Which some of their facilities are at Georgia Tech.
Right. Yeah. And when the ESPN built this arrangement with the ACC, they mandated that every ACC school has to have on-campus production capabilities. And so Tech's got a nice new $10 million facility over there. You walk in and It's big time.
All right. We'll be watching to see what produces that. Matt Winklejohn with Sam head to the top of the hour. Hang on with us. We're going to wrap this hour up here with Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.